Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
It's the Breakfast Club, the world's most dangerous morning show.
Hey!
Angela Yee is kind of like the big sister that always pokes you in the forehead.
That's not how it goes?
That's not how anything goes.
Yemi's really like a robot. One of the best DJs ever.
Believe that.
Charlamagne is the wild card.
And I'm about to give somebody the credit they deserve for being stupid.
I know, that's right.
What is wrong with you?
Listen to The Breakfast Club weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 106.7 The Beat. Columbus's real hip-hop and R&B.
From The Recount, I'm Rena Ninen, and you're listening to The Recount Daily Pod. Today's Thursday, September 23rd.
One employee said to me that they love working at Activision Blizzard, but Activision Blizzard does not love them back. And they just want to feel appreciated and safe and taken care of at a company that they put everything into.
That was Cecilia D'Anastasio, staff writer at Wired, talking about the toxic culture of sexual discrimination that's led to several lawsuits against the company Activision Blizzard. We'll dig into that a little later on, but first, your morning headlines. We began with COVID. Last night, the FDA authorized Pfizer booster shots for people 65 and older and at-risk adults. Who exactly fits the at-risk category is still up for debate. Clearly included are those who are immunosuppressed. Whether healthcare workers and others who are frequently exposed to the virus will be included is yet to be decided. That's up to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and its advisors, which could respond as early as today. The FDA is expected to review Moderna and Johnson & Johnson boosters next. Next to Florida, where the FBI is asking for the public's help in finding the whereabouts of Gabby Petito's fiancé, Brian Laundrie. This comes after the Teton County coroner ruled Gabby's death a homicide. On August 12th, Laundrie was questioned by police in Utah with Gabby after a domestic dispute call was filed. The two had been on a cross-country van trip. 3 weeks later, Laundrie returned to his parents' house in Florida, alone. Laundrie then stayed for 10 days. His parents allege that during that time, he didn't tell them anything about Gabby's whereabouts. Once Gabby Petito was reported missing by her parents, Laundrie hired a lawyer who released a statement saying he will remain silent at the advice of counsel. After several more days, Laundrie left his parents' house, allegedly to go meditate at 24,000-acre Carlton Reserve, a snake-infested swampland. He's been missing ever since. We end with Activision Blizzard, the company behind the wildly successful video games Call of Duty and World of Warcraft. The company released a statement on Monday acknowledging that the SEC was looking into their disclosures regarding employment matters and related issues. Following the announcement, CEO Bobby Kotick acknowledged that the company is currently working with federal and state regulators to address and resolve workplace complaints. These are just the latest developments in a much larger issue for the company involving an official investigation and several lawsuits, including one filed by California's Division of Fair Employment and Housing. That suit accuses Activision Blizzard of sexual discrimination and sexual harassment, and it's forcing a reckoning in the gaming industry. Will it succeed in changing the industry's toxic culture? We dig into that with Cecilia D'Anastasio, staff writer at Wired, in today's Daily Deep Dive. Cecilia, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Cecilia, I want to ask you sort of about the gaming culture and women. I want to start, though, with California's initial lawsuit filing against Activision Blizzard in July. What did this investigation reveal? What was the initial filing?
Sure. So on July 20th, the Department of Fair Employment and Housing in California, following a two-year-long investigation into Activision Blizzard, discovered rampant workplace sexism and sexual harassment. So allegations ranged from unequal pay, unequal promotion opportunities, to actual sexual harassment, sexual abuse at the company. Allegedly, top male employees were participants in this culture as well. It wasn't just people lower down on the ladder.
What are some of the really most shocking examples of sexual harassment? How is this different from any other company?
The games industry is majority male. Activision Blizzard has about 10,000 employees, and 24% of them are female. Some might say, oh, you know, this is generally the makeup of the tech industry, but unlike the tech industry, games culture is very codified. It's something people really grew up in. People are really steeped in this. And a lot of the stereotypes about who gamers are and who hardcore gamers are, which companies are looking to hire, is going to be male. It's going to be white. It's going to be somebody who is really into a certain kind of video game. And that makes it very difficult for women who often are dismissed from the cultures of those video games and not taken seriously to really make their way in the industry. Mm-hmm. At Activision Blizzard, top male employees allegedly participated in something called cube crawls, which had them going from cubicle to cubicle while being allegedly very intoxicated and sort of engaging in what investigators deemed inappropriate behavior toward female employees. There were also allegations of male employees sort of hitting on inappropriately female employees at parties and at conventions as well.
That's incredible. I mean, how were they able to feel that they could get away with this?
According to investigators, Activision Blizzard's human resources department has generally been quite permissive of what it called this frat boy culture in a way that sort of tacitly allowed people to get away with it for a very, very long time. There were very long-term high-level employees who allegedly participated in sexism and sexual harassment at the company, who only after the explosion around the lawsuit were let go.
You've been covering women and gaming and the gaming world for some time. What makes this case so different and so jarring, in your opinion, when it comes to the examples of sexual harassment and gender-based discrimination?
So what we've seen at Activision Blizzard actually does fall in line with what we've seen in other large male-dominated gaming companies, including Ubisoft and including Riot Games. And it's alarming the extent to which there are similarities between allegations at all three workplaces, from what sort of people are hired at the company and what sort of people are advantaged in hiring processes to what sort of people are promoted to this permissiveness, especially with higher ups at the company and human resources. All of these things have lined up across all three of these companies, which makes it easier for employees to make their case that change is necessary across the industry.
Last year, there were some 70 women who went onto Twitter to share their stories of workplace harassment at Activision Blizzard. Did you get a sense that these were women at other gaming companies that might step forward as well?
Yes, and that's been happening over the last several years. Current and former employees at all sorts of gaming companies have been inspired by very, very brave individuals who spoke out about their experiences, to speak out about theirs on social media and to journalists, and also internally to working groups at their companies. And it's incredible that, you know, these employees are going up against this male-dominated culture of complicity to challenge the norms. And last year, during a gaming sort of Me Too movement that occurred, dozens of employees at the games company Ubisoft came forward with allegations of misconduct at their company that were extremely harrowing and did spur change at the company, which is still ongoing.
You mentioned how gaming companies have suffered from a lack of diversity and inclusion. I threw around that number. It's 84% of executives at the top 14 gaming companies are men. Do you see that changing at all?
I do. In the future, I do see that slowly, slowly, slowly changing. After the Activision Blizzard lawsuit, the company's president stepped down and was replaced by two individuals, one of whom is a woman. And that is very exciting. On the other hand, a lot of these companies are going to be slow to change their executive leadership because many of them were started by men. Top executives are people who have been their close friends for a decade, two decades. It's just, you know, people who have been embedded in the culture and created the culture are the culture. In a lot of cases. And breaking into that as a woman and as a minority is going to be increasingly difficult just because of how codified it is.
Some people might listen to this and be like, why are they doing a podcast on women and gaming and the sexual culture? What do you say to people who think this isn't really an issue?
It is an issue because the games industry is, first of all, bigger than movies. It is a huge international industry that is only growing. And people get into this industry because of their passion for video games. They grew up playing Zelda, they grew up playing Mario, and they feel that not only do they have the opportunity to contribute to a community they're passionate about, but also there is some sort of viability in terms of finances to actually make this a stable living for themselves. And it is extremely unfortunate that this burgeoning, enormous industry is systematically disadvantaging women and minorities on the level that it has been for so long. And it also says a lot about the way that we think about meritocracy. Meritocracy is a term that's thrown around a lot at tech companies and at gaming companies. And the implication of meritocracy is that there are some people who are deserving of success, some people who are deserving of promotions, greater financial compensation. And what we've been seeing over the last several years in games and in tech is this sort of coming to terms with the fact that there isn't one pattern for the kind of person who does deserve success and who does deserve promotion and financial compensation. If we're just looking at one sort of person with one sort of background, that's going to really limit the kind of diversity that you can foster at your company. And that diversity will help grow your company and help your products resonate with a larger variety of people.
I mean, it sounds like the Me Too movement has really come full into the gaming industry. What are the women you're speaking to? What are they saying? What do they want?
Women just want to be able to work. They love these games. I mean, at Riot Games, at Ubisoft, at Activision Blizzard, there is this unified desire to work really, really hard on these games for their community, for their consumers. And you know, people feel very, very lucky to have the opportunity to work at these extremely prestigious companies in the games industry. One employee said to me that they love working at Activision Blizzard, but Activision Blizzard does not love them back. And they just want to feel appreciated and safe and taken care of at a company that they put everything into.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with Cecilia D'Anastasio from Wired on the Recount Daily Pod.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's Zuko and Kayla from The Wake Up Call. Enjoy your podcast, but when you're done, don't forget about us. We have a radio show. We try to bring a smile to your face every morning.
We also talk to some of the hottest country stars of today, and we like to share some good news with That's What I Like.
Because Lord knows that's hard to find. When you're done podcasting your podcast, listen to us at 92.3 WCOL.
Set your preset on your radio right now, and don't forget you can listen to us online on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, welcome back to the Recount Daily Pod, a podcast from The Recount and iHeartRadio. I'm joined by Cecilia D'Anastasio, staff writer at Wired. We're talking about California's lawsuit against Activision Blizzard. Are you optimistic that the culture will likely change as a result of the conversation that's being happened?
It is already changing. There has for a long time been a culture of kind of you bear this cross on your own if you are a minority in the games industry. And now, after so many brave women and minorities have been speaking out about their experience, they're really carving out space for more and more people to talk about what's happened to them and spearhead change on behalf of themselves and their colleagues. I also have noticed more and more labor movements in the games industry over the last several years, and that includes walkouts that have occurred at Riot Games and several times at Activision Blizzard. That includes working groups with individuals who are penning letters to management. It's not unionization yet, but it's really heartening to see.
Do you see the gaming industry moving forward toward unionization?
Yes and no. We've seen a lot of really interesting labor movements in the games industry. For example, there was a walkout outside of Activision Blizzard that encompassed hundreds and hundreds of people At their Irvine, California headquarters. There have been walkouts at Riot Games and other gaming companies protesting forced arbitration specifically, but also being in solidarity with their colleagues. And there are internal working groups at these companies that are employee-led, making demands in favor of changes that support diversity. Unionization is something that a lot of games industry workers I've talked to are pretty reticent to pursue. I think there's this idea that unionizing is for people who work in coal mines and people who work jobs sort of outside of offices. And people feel that because they're getting paid maybe a fair wage compared to other people in America, unionizing isn't for them. And it's, I think, something that will be slow to happen if it does happen in the games industry, but could really benefit a lot of workers.
You know, I'm a parent. I've got a 10-year-old boy who loves the gaming world, and it's been an outlet for him to connect with his other friends during this pandemic. What advice do you have, though, for parents and consumers? How can they respond to something like this? Are you seeing them responding?
For parents, my advice would be this. There are a lot of young individuals who would love to work in the games industry. And seeing people streaming video games on Twitch, seeing young people working as artists and designers and coders at games companies can be really inspiring. The games industry is a really hard place to work. There are layoffs that occur just way more often than in adjacent industries. There's sexism, as we've discussed. There isn't a strong labor movement in the games industry. It can be very volatile and very unsafe for marginalized people. I would suggest that parents whose children are interested in joining the games industry educate their children both on the exciting opportunities that exist and the hard work it takes to get there, and also on being a good ally, politically conscientious, and also just being aware of exploitative practices at workplaces.
Are there companies you feel are really getting it right when it comes to culture and gaming?
There are indie gaming studios that are placing a strong emphasis on culture and on diversity. I think it remains very difficult when the floor for entering the games industry is so high. And for a lot of even entry-level positions, you have to have had a lot of experience prior to being interviewed for those jobs. And it's just one of these situations, like any sort of passion-based industry, where it's hard to get in the door anywhere. And it's hard to get a chance if you haven't been given chances previously. And statistically, the people who are likely to be getting those chances are going to be white men.
We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Cecilia D'Anastasio, staff writer at Wired, on the Recount Daily Pod.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
Welcome back to the Recount Daily Pod, a podcast from The Recount and iHeartRadio. I'm here with Cecilia D'Anastasio, staff writer at Wired, and we're talking about California's lawsuit against Activision Blizzard. When you look at Activision Blizzard's history of sexual harassment and gender-based discrimination, do you think this is an extension of the gaming community at large, what we're really seeing?
Yes, absolutely. Games culture is predominantly male. If you are somebody who grew up playing video games, I'm sure you have seen one or many times, you know, a woman approaching people playing Super Smash Brothers, approaching Mario Kart, or people playing any sort of game and being kind of disadvantaged, you know, not getting the controller handed to them, or even in an online game like Overwatch or Call of Duty, having people call out women for having female voices. And that's the kind of thing that really pushes women and minorities out of exploring their passion for video games. And when, you know, you're talking about hiring practices at a company, at Riot Games, for example, they privileged people who were described as core gamers. And to them, that meant people who were hardcore players of games like Call of Duty and games like World of Warcraft, where it was harder for women to get very good at these games and spend a lot of time in them because of these cultures of sexism. So there is a direct link between misogyny in games culture and misogyny at game publishers and developers.
The gaming industry is so influential right now in American culture. A quarter of all Gen Zers say that playing video games is actually their number one source of entertainment. And the so-called woke generation, do you think they might be able to change the influence on the workplace gaming culture? And if so, how?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really galvanized by Gen Z's interest in social issues and in politics. I can definitely imagine that a lot of the individuals who has been speaking out about diversity in the content of video games and advocating for more women and marginalized people to be the protagonists of video games are also Gen Z gamers. We've seen a huge increase of that over the last several years. And I think in part just because a lot of the stories that Gen Z want to consume in video games are going to be these very diverse multicultural stories, we are going to be seeing more people telling those stories who are from those backgrounds. And that's really beautiful and exciting.
I want to bring it back to California. Is there something the state is doing differently to approach work culture than other states are?
California's Department of Fair Employment and Housing has already launched an investigation into Riot Games and also Activision Blizzard. There are a lot of gaming companies that are headquartered in California, and those companies have reason to fear that they will also be investigated by state enterprises if, you know, they are also fostering cultures of sexism and a permissiveness around sexual misconduct. So I think California is doing a really good job right now trying to make sure that the games industry is a safe place for women and minorities to work.
Someone who covers this closely, what are you watching for with a lawsuit like this and in the years to come in the gaming industry?
I'm watching for companies to look at what's happened with Riot Games, Ubisoft, and Activision Blizzard and say, oh my God, I do not want that to happen to me. And I'm looking for them to preemptively hire more women and minorities, promote more women and minorities who have been doing work above their pay grade for a long time, which happens a lot. And also bring a lot of women and minorities into leadership positions at these companies without being prompted by public backlash, lawsuits, or articles, just on their own, if not fueled by the fact that that's the right thing to do, being fueled by fear of a lawsuit, making those changes.
Cecilia, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And now to the look ahead. Here's what else we're watching today. Vice President Kamala Harris is meeting today with Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi to discuss climate change, human rights, and democracy. This comes a day before President Biden hosts the first ever Quad Leader Summit, where he'll be meeting with Prime Minister Modi, Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison, and Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga on fighting COVID-19. The group will also discuss partnering on emerging technologies. Today's International Day of Sign Languages. This year marks the 70th anniversary of the founding of the World Federation of the Deaf, an international nonprofit working to ensure equal rights for the world's 70 million deaf people. In honor of the day, the United Nations and the World Federation of the Deaf will hold a webinar to raise awareness on the importance of sign languages. The event can be seen online on the nonprofit's website. Well, get your dancing shoes on. Global Citizen Live will be airing Saturday. The 24-hour music event will take place on 6 continents and be broadcast around the world and streamed online. Tens of millions are expected to tune in. The event is part of Global Citizen's Recovery Plan for the World campaign, which focuses on ending COVID-19, solving the hunger crisis, protecting the planet, and advancing equity for all. The organization hopes to raise billions from the show. Over 60 artists will be performing, including Shawn Mendes, 5 Seconds of Summer, Elton John, Lizzo, Andrea Bocelli, and BTS. You can watch the concert for free on the Global Citizen website here in the U.S. Streams will also be available via ABC, Apple TV, iHeartRadio, Twitter, and YouTube. Have a great weekend, everyone. See you back on Monday morning. This is a Recount Daily Pod, a podcast from The Recount and iHeartRadio. Our thanks to Cecilia D'Anastasio for being on the show. And if you like this episode, I hope you'll subscribe to The Recount Daily Pod and leave us a rating on the Apple Podcast app. I'm your host, Rena Ninen. Alexis Ramdow and Corey Wara engineered and produced this podcast. Ariella Martin also produced. Fonda Mwangi did the research. Pierre Benamé is our senior producer, and our executive producer is Laura Beatty.
Check the back seat. Check the back seat.
All right, come here.
Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the back seat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.